welcome to the Elevated Visibility Podcast, the podcast for female founders who are looking for more than just easy marketing tips and feel-good strategy and craving deep connection. I'm your host, Nina Gibson, holistic SEO expert and visibility enthusiast who is hell-bent on giving women a voice and a platform to use it. In this space, we chat all things SEO and marketing for your brand and business, but we also peel back the layers and the bullshit and dive deep into what it means to feel visible as business owners, women, moms, and more. If you're ready for holistic marketing strategy mixed in with some soulful storytelling, this podcast is for you. Welcome. Hello, hello. Welcome back to the Elevated Visibility Podcast. I am your host, Nina Gibson. I am really excited to talk about today's topic. I have my morning latte and it's a Monday morning, which is my podcast recording day, and I am here for it. It's taken me a little bit of time to get into a regular recording cadence. I'm still a little bit struggle bus in this department, but I'm making it happen. And dedicating a day to doing recordings has really helped me. Mondays, I have one call in the mornings, and then the rest of the time is just going to be spent on my podcast or working within my business. And that way I have it ready for my audio engineer and the podcast team for Thursday for the following week. But it's taken me a little bit of time to get into that groove. So here we are recording an episode a little bit late, but making it happen. So what are we going to talk about today? So today we're going to talk about scaling your e-commerce business and some of the number one tips that I can give you as somebody who's been in the e-commerce space for the majority of their career. I've been in online e-com for, I don't know, almost 15 years. The bulk of my experience has been in digital marketing. It's only in the last couple of years that I've transitioned over to helping female entrepreneurs or any entrepreneur really that are more in the coaching space or service-based businesses. But really, I've spent a ton of time in retail and e-com marketing. And you might have remembered, if you're an avid listener, last month I did an episode with two friends and colleagues of mine, Kristen Fisher and Ruthie Sterrett, who are both retail veterans and product-based business gurus. And we hosted a retailer roundtable workshop for product-based businesses all about getting your business ready for Q4 and kind of that holiday craziness. And I was thinking during that episode, I'm like, why don't I talk about e-com more? So today we are going to talk about the e-commerce tips that you need to scale your business. So this is going to be kind of like a nitty-gritty, quick training, covering a lot of different topics that I could go in depth about on each of them, but I think they're really important to know, and I hope you find them helpful. So first things first, know your numbers. There is a surprising amount of people who don't know how people are getting to their website, how people are finding their products and their business, and how those people are converting. Before you do anything else when it comes to scaling your business, you need to understand exactly how each of your web channels converts and how people are finding your website. So this obviously means having Google Analytics set up. I always recommend a third-party analytics tool. I'm going to put some recommendations in the show notes. Google Search Console set up for organic traffic only. You won't be able to tie any kind of revenue or ROI to this, but it's still helpful to see, okay, this is how Google sees my site, and these are the kinds of organic keywords that I'm ranking for. But before you can scale, you need to know what to scale. And you cannot do that until you know your numbers. So make sure that you have everything set up. And this is also your reminder to make sure that you have G4 Analytics set up. Because next summer, they're going to sunset Google Universal Analytics. It's going to go away. And you want to make sure that when it does go away, that you have at least almost a year's worth, right, of historical data to reference versus just starting fresh and not being able to have data to look back to. And the data isn't going to be apples to apples. One is going to be cookie-based. One is going to be event-based. If that's super confusing to you, it's kind of even still confusing for me, to be honest. I mean, people come to your website, they get cookied for 30 days. That's how Google tracks them. Now it's going to be all based on events. They're addressing some privacy issues and things like that. And I think they're hoping that all of the lawsuits in the European Union will go away if they do this. But regardless, this is your call to know your metrics. You cannot scale until you know where people are coming from and how they're converting. The second piece of advice that I have is, if you are ready to scale and you spend time looking for service providers to help you do that, and you pay them, listen to them. This does not necessarily mean that you shouldn't follow your gut or be like, oh, you know, what they're saying isn't really my business, or they're not maybe getting my vision. That's a separate issue. But if you are going to invest thousands of dollars potentially in experts, listen to them. At the very least, listen to what they have to say, especially if you don't necessarily like what they have to say. There's sometimes some growing pains when you're scaling an e-com business. And in the beginning, when you're smaller, it can feel good to just sort of do the things that you're doing because they're working. But if you want to scale, there's sometimes things that you need to do, right, that feel outside of our comfort zones. Listen to the experts that you hire. Again, does not mean don't follow your gut, but just think, okay, I'm spending thousands of dollars. I vetted this person. I've listened to other people who've had amazing results with this service provider. Okay, I'm going to listen. So that's my number two tip. Number three, do not make assumptions. I have sat in meetings for enterprise-level e-commerce sites where there are massive amounts of assumptions being made. Oh, we're pretty sure we know how people are interacting with the site, or we know that people aren't clicking on that button, and so we're going to change it. Do you really know? Does the data support it, or are you just guessing? A lot of the times when we're really close to a project, we cannot see it clearly. And what I mean by that is, when you have a business that's your baby, you think that you know how people are interacting with your website or your call to action buttons or your product pages, but you don't really know until you know. And this is where investing in something like Crazy Egg, so you understand like heat maps, how people are actually interacting on your site, where they're not clicking, or maybe you want them to click. Having that data and understanding, okay, wow, people really are missing that giant CTA in the hero image on my homepage. I need to change that. Do not assume that just because you know your business and your audience really well, that you know how they're interacting with your website. Okay, number four, this one's probably my favorite. Pretty isn't always profitable. There are a lot of beautiful websites out there that do not convert. And the reason is that aesthetics were favored over functionality. The trick to a well-converting website is to blend aesthetics with functionality. A good user experience, UX, and a clearly defined, easy-to-use navigation will take you so much farther than just a beautiful site. You need a combination of the two, right? You need imagery and a color scheme and things like that that evoke a certain feeling or response in people. But if people cannot find what they're looking for on your website, it doesn't matter how beautiful it is. So a good UX and navigation are so, so important. And not only is the navigation important in terms of people finding things on your website, but it's also really, really important for SEO. SEO and user experience go hand in hand. If people land on your website and go right back to the search engine results, Google knows that. They're like, oh, this isn't what they were looking for. It's called dwell time. And Google knows, they know if people are hanging out on your site or not after coming from the search engine results, right? And something like 44% of product-based searches still originate with Google. And even with the rise of platforms like TikTok, which is just going to explode as a shopping platform, right? Even TikTok revealed in their annual reporting, I think in February or March, that users who are looking for products, of those, like 65% of them are still going off platform to investigate those products. So Google still plays a really fundamental role in how people are finding products that you sell. So making sure that you have fundamentals down, like a good UX and a clear navigation, not only great for users, but it's going to benefit you for SEO as well. And this kind of flows into my next tip, which is page speed. Google has something called the Core Web Vitals component of their algorithm, and page speed is one of the most important things. There are other components, but we'll save that for another day, another conversation. If your page load time is slow, even like 3 seconds, that's going to hurt you. Not only is it going to hurt your SEO, but its users don't like it. They will bounce. They will go someplace else. So if there's one thing that you can focus on, aside from knowing your metrics, this would be the number two thing that I would say out of this entire conversation, if you're going to take something away, an action item, this would be it. And oftentimes that can be as simple as asking your web developer or the person that works on your website to compress images. Or if you have a really beautiful video, maybe that video should be a still image and not a video. So those are the types of things to look at. I'm going to put a couple of additional resource lists for how to improve page speed in the show notes, because a lot of us, myself included, are managing things on our own, right? And while I've been in SEO for a long time and I know enough about development to be able to make recommendations or spot an issue, I'm still not a developer myself. So I'll put some additional resources in the show notes, because this is one of those things where it's like, oh my gosh, I know I need to do this, but how do I actually do it? So page speed, and then page speed kind of flows into mobile, right? Just because something looks really good on a laptop does not mean it looks the same on a mobile device. Chances are the majority of your traffic is coming from a mobile device. And this goes back to the number one tip at the start of this podcast, which is know your metrics. You should know what percentage of people are coming from a mobile device and what percentage are coming from a desktop. And the reason why you need to know that is because it's going to matter in terms of the kind of content that you're creating. A beautiful product page, PDP, I'm going to refer to them as, a beautiful PDP on a laptop is not going to look and feel the same on a mobile device. But if 75% of your users are coming from a mobile device, then you need to sort of think about that, right? So it's really, really important to make sure that the content that you're creating, your product images, your hero images, your CTA buttons, all of those things are functional and easy to use on a mobile device, including your checkout process. I strongly recommend once a month going through your checkout process as a test user on both laptop and mobile. Because sometimes you realize, oh my gosh, why did my conversion rate drop? Well, it turns out there's an issue all of a sudden with your checkout. And one of the really great things about Google Analytics, it's a love-hate, right, that I have with that platform. But when you set up e-commerce tracking in Google Analytics, you can see an enormous amount of information about shopping behavior, shopping cart abandonment, checkout abandonment, where people are falling off in the process. So you start to get a really good idea. Okay, I have a 5-step checkout process. You're probably going to want to streamline that down to like 2, right? So that's the kind of information that you can glean from your metrics as well. But mobile. It's so, so important. So, okay. This was a very nitty-gritty, quick hit tips all about scaling your e-commerce business and the things that you should be paying attention to. And I said a few minutes ago, but I'll say it again. If there's one thing that you take away from this podcast today, it's number one, know your metrics. Know them. And then number two, page speed, especially heading into holiday in Q4, right? Most product-based businesses, Q4 is your big, big, busy time of year. You want to give yourself as much of a competitive advantage as possible, and page speed is one way to do that. All right, friends, this is everything for today. I hope that you found this information useful. I hope the sun is shining wherever you are. Until next time. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Elevated Visibility Podcast. If you loved it and you want to support the podcast, please share it with others, your family, friends, post about it on social media, or leave a rating and review. I would appreciate it so, so much. Catch all the latest from me. You can follow me on Instagram at ninagibson.co. Until next time.